So I had to wear a cape today, so I'd be more like a superhero. I heard a story that Truman saw Keith in a cape and thought he was a superhero, so I thought I'd give it my best shot. I've been thinking a lot about the USS First Parish of Sudbury. Not USS as in United States ship, but USS as United Spiritual Seekers, or United Scientific Speakers, or even Social Seekers, or Steadfast Seekers, or Silly Seekers, or Significant, Sacred, and Special Seekers, for that matter. Whatever our special beliefs, I do think that each one of us is a seeker of some sort. And that seeking ultimately has brought each one of us here to First Parish. Let me put a comma there, as my mother used to say, and share a thought with you. I found myself in a conversation this last week, or maybe it was last week before that, I don't know, with one of you, or maybe it was all of you, or maybe it was some of you, or maybe I actually said it in a sermon or something. Words have power. We can use them to build bridges between one another or build walls around ourselves to protect and close ourselves off from each other. I never want to have language that I choose to use on any given Sunday be off-putting, such as the title, Spiritual Seeker. And yet, I want to help us learn how to tolerate language that stretches us, to think of ways to communicate beyond that twinge of angst you might feel when a word or phrase might trip you up. It's not easy, and language can be powerful. But let me be clear. I'm not asking anyone to become spiritual. I'm not asking anyone to become a seeker. Regardless if one is Jewish, Christian, Buddhist, Zoroastrian, pagan, agnostic, atheist, or even a Trekkie for that matter, language is power. And I hope that we can use it for good and not use it to hold one another hostage. Be certain. Be truly certain that some Sundays I might just say God. Some Sundays I might say Allah, Spirit of life and love, or universal life force. I might just say Jesus, and I think I did last week. I invite you to go along with me, to trust in my intentions, to be open to what I might say. Clearly, you do not ever have to agree with me. And I hope you tell me if you don't. And yet, to know that I'm present here with love and the utmost respect in my heart for each and every one of you and your respective beliefs. Don't let language trip us up. I hope that you get that. That when you disagree with me, I hope that you feel safe enough to come to me and speak your truth to me. I really don't want to leave that unsaid during our first month together. I want you to know that I am going to push your buttons. I am. And the truth of it is that a minister's job is to comfort the afflicted. Yes, that's true. But it's also to afflict the comfortable. And that is my call. Okay, so I admit that I wandered for a second, but I'll come back to my course. This week I've been making my way in the world, another way of describing my practice of daily seeking. I've had numerous people share the following line with me, and I kid you not, not all who wander are lost. Multiple people. Who says that? Out of the blue, unsolicited, not all those who wander are lost. I wasn't remotely referring to speaking about wandering or being lost, but yet these words came to me repeatedly throughout the week. Maybe it's my ability to make somewhat logical segues. One has to wonder, what does it mean? What is the universe trying to tell me? Stay on point? Or maybe it's just coincidence, or providence, or who knows? what it might be. This line comes from a poem written by J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. The entire poem goes something like this: "All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king." What does it mean? Let's stick that in our back pocket for a second, shall we? And reach instead for the helm. You see, I'm a sailor. I admit it. I think that's why I keep thinking about this congregation as the USS First Parish of Sudbury. Boating is in my veins. I spent 35 years on the St. Lawrence River and in and around boats, and I think of our congregation, all of its respective parts, as a large sailboat. Have you, any of you ever sailed before? Oh, thank God. To sail requires skill, planning, communication, the ability to respond to changes in the environment, as well as the foresight to know when to head into port. If any part of the ship is unattended or not tended well, it affects the whole. So imagine for a moment a crew that's not communicating, and people are pulling on ropes, yanking the rudder this way and that, and generally going about their random tasks, but not in concert with each other. The boat will do one of three things. It will naturally turn into the wind, and the sails will stall and luft, also known as flap for all of those of you who are landlubbers. The boat could have too much air in her sails and pull the gunwale into the water and possibly take on water. And the third and far more unlikely possibility without attention is that the boat will sail, moving forward at a good clip until one condition or multiple conditions occur and cause us all to have to adjust accordingly. To keep moving forward in a specific direction, one must intentionally tack or turn so that the sailboat ultimately stays on course. Tacking requires that the crew actually have a course, which takes into account longitude and latitude and wind and weather, variations in depth and destination. Some people think we can all just jump in the boat, turn the key, and head out, and that one person doing all of the steering will eventually get us to where we want to go. Do any of you really believe that? No, good. But even in a motorized yacht, it takes a skilled crew to make progress, keep all the systems moving forward. Our tasks are slightly different from the work of boating, and yet they are no less important. Hosting coffee hour, teaching in religious education, tending to the gardens, working on the building, paying the bills, greeting and ushering, helping to define our vision. All of this work is important and much needed. I cannot tell you how many times that I have felt the exhilaration of having perfectly trimmed sails and the rudder pointing me in the direction just enough, but not too much, to garner the wind's power to pull my boat forward. I hike out far enough to offset the tendency for the gunwale to dip low. Warm breeze, sun on the face, spray splashing as the boat pulls against her rigging. There's nothing quite like it. It's breathtaking, actually. Here is an interesting note. I had the same rush with you during our candidating week in April, and again last week during the Board of Trustees retreat. The excitement, the exhilaration, the possibility of our USS First Parish of Sudbury crew working together to move us forward. I enjoyed being with the trustees who were doing just that last weekend, working together, communicating, looking to the horizon, and learning how to tack together as a crew. The trustees thought about our course and the details of setting sail and the minutia that enables us to maintain air in our sails and not take on water. Their mission and mantra that will help us to become more cohesive as we wander forward is simple, yet important. Welcome, sustain, inspire, work for justice. It was through the discussion of the board goals that helped us to find our way to this mission. Last Friday night, as we discussed our individual hopes and dreams for First Parish of Sudbury, I asked a random question of the trustees. What's their mission? And even though they knew that the community is welcoming and supportive, recalling the mission was not an easy thing to do. I'd ask you all, what is the mission of this congregation? If we, you and I, are unable to share what the mission of our congregation is, just off the top of our heads, then we have some work to do. Not in memorizing the mission statement, but in framing it in such a way that we do not forget it. Welcome, sustain, inspire, work for justice. This last week has been a busy one with retreats. Last Thursday, Donna, Roberta, Deborah, and I went off to the staff startup retreat offered by the Unitarian Universalist Association's district. During our time together, I asked your staff if there was anything that they felt was missing from the board's mission mantra. The response was connection and communication. And they're right. Hence, for the staff, we would like to build upon the board's mission with an addition. A little rhyme there for you. Welcome, connect, sustain, inspire, work for justice. Welcome, connect, sustain, inspire, work for justice. Is this the mission that we each were seeking that brought us here to First Parish of Sudbury? Or is our mission solar power on the roof, a patio in the front of the meeting house, excellent religious education for our children, a sense of community, or free coffee and conversation on Sunday morning? Are we seeking meaning that helps us to gain a foothold in life, or is it affirmation or love? Maybe it's all of the above. The 13th century Sufi poet Rumi would venture that your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Rumi speaks specifically of love, but we could use his guidance with regard to any of our goals. What barriers stand within us that holds us back? Our mission in this world could be anything that we can imagine, and yet our specific destination may not be all that important. Our destination may not be all that important. I had to say it again because I didn't hear any gasps. Remember the old adage that the journey is what is important and not necessarily the destination. Let us be mindful that since 1644, the First Parish of Sudbury has been on a journey and has yet to reach its destination. Think about that for a second. The bulk of our time is spent on the journey. Thus, we must be present to it, find solace in these snippets of connection. Reach into my back pocket, I pull out that prophetic statement, not all those who wander are lost. What do we seek? Do we even seek? Do we just wander around living our lives? Walt Disney, a man who had immense vision, once shared, "We keep moving forward, opening new doors and doing new things because we're curious. And curiosity keeps leading us down new paths. Does it matter what path we choose?" Robert Frost would say that it was the path less traveled that made all the difference, even though they were really both just as fair. In my opinion, what is most important, as Roberta shared last week in the story for all ages, is not what someone said or did or even where we might be heading, but how being a part of this crew, this congregation, makes us feel. And that has made all of the difference. Do we feel welcomed, connected, sustained, inspired, and does all that make us feel compelled to make the world a better place for all? We hold commonalities, and at some times we are different, We have different theologies, beliefs, passions, outlooks. We have different hopes and dreams. We come from different places, emotionally, physically, socioeconomically, and yet here we are sitting next to one another, committed to being present and awake on this journey. We have different goals and agendas, and we each pull on our respective lines, adjusting our specific sails, our tasks, and perseverating over our destination and our desire to adjust our course. Yet if we do not endeavor to sail together, we will not move forward. Our journey will consist of feeling the wind pass us by as we listen to our sails luff loosely. In many ways, our differences and our agendas could stall us altogether, or they could be our collective strength. It really all depends on us, our ability to be open to one another, and the greater good. How do we do this? How do we do this? How do we commit to being on this journey together, supportive and not frustrated by the challenges that we will face? We begin by listening to one another with an open heart and mind, and we collect our individual agendas. We collect them all. We bring them all together, our hopes, our dreams, into a plan. Then we do the hardest thing of all. We put down our individual agendas and endeavor to follow our plan together. It's not easy to put down your individual agenda, but it's what we need to do. We need to communicate our truth and love. Try not to work at cross purposes, and it's right then that we will truly begin to sail like the wind. I personally love a gentle breeze, the sun, the spray, the moving forward kind of experience. Don't you? Doesn't it feel good, that energy? We do not have to move fast, but oh, what fun we will have when we really start to move and begin to achieve our collective goals. To stick our toes in the water. How daring of us to be so bold. I'm inviting you to do two things with me today. Two things. The first is that fellowship hour downstairs, we will have cards. And I would like you to take a few moments to write down three things on those cards, index cards. The first question will be, do you have any skills that you're willing to share with this community? Are you a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker? Are you a consultant, an attorney, a financial planner, a writer? Do you want to put your skills to work helping one another? Are you a physician, but you really enjoy wielding a hammer or a paintbrush? List your skills on one side of this card, and don't forget to add your name. I've done that before. It's not helpful. At least that's what I was told. Now, on the other side of the card, I want you to write down your needs, and I truly mean this. Do you need a ride, or your gutters cleaned, or someone to read to you? Is there anything that has been on your mind that you just need some help with? Like fixing a creaky stair, fixing your computer, or facing into the prospect of setting up a Facebook account. You wanna, but it's scary. I know that I'm asking a lot of us to be truly vulnerable, open, generous, and caring for one another. How daring and bold to offer and ask for what we might need to be a happier and healthier person, and to in turn be a happier and healthier congregation. How many of us are willing to offer help? How many of us are willing to receive help? Okay, here's the thing. You have to be able to receive and give to really truly feel connected and fulfilled. You have to be able to do them both. It's much easier to give than receive. Trust me, I know this. But it's the part of the equation that we all need to embrace. I have another request of you this morning. You may wonder, will it ever end? Let me answer that for you. No. I want you to come to fellowship hour. I want you to fill out those cards. I really do, because I am going to read them. And I will stalk you if you haven't filled one out. And I would also like you to meet with our group and talk about living our faith. We're going to ask you about what you do as outreach in the world right now. The things you do that aren't part of this church, that let you be who you are in the world. Is there a cause that you donate to? Do you work at a soup kitchen or at a pantry, bagging groceries, or give rides or offer assistance in any way? Because we want to help you to answer that call that you feel. Can you imagine the presence and power we could have if we all showed up together? If we did it all together, no matter how or what we might be helping with. If we put down our individual agendas and worked on a plan, does the destination really matter? Is it the journey that truly counts? This last week, a woman stopped by from the Methodist Church. Can't remember her name. I feel bad about that. But she was talking about Open Table in Maynard. How many of you heard about Open Table or read about it in the newspaper? Open Table is kind of like a soup kitchen. Over in Maynard, they meet on Mondays and they feed people who just need a meal. The woman came and said to me, "We need help. We need help." And I looked at her and I said, "We will help you. We can help you." She just needs 20, 24 people to come together to cook, to clean, to hand out groceries. And I committed us all. My friends, we are the USS First Parish of Sudbury. We are strong and we are powerful together. And I'm calling all hands on deck. We need you. We need one another. We may wander, but we will never be lost as long as we are together. For this we pray. Blessed be. Amen.